The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody!
What's coming up on today's experience? Devotional Diamonds of the Day, also known as DDDs, where my daily devotionals become some of our spiritual reflections. Sound effects placed throughout the show, which have nothing to do with life, but they're a lot of fun. The review of the Goofy News, which proves Jesus is coming back sooner than you think. If you take a look at the news, at the internet, anywhere in the world, you know he's coming back. It could be before this show's over. We all hope so. Life lessons for our faith that we can actually use, but many of us won't. That's unfortunate. We should probably use them. Humor that will force you to think, why does this guy have a radio show? Mostly because I pay the bill. And then also Bible trivia for fake and yet somehow real cool prizes, your phone calls, and more. To the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. My name is David Spoon. I will be your host for the next 5,400 seconds. Get ready for one of the more bizarre experiences on live radio. Here is the key to the show. We don't know what we're doing. We have no idea what's going to happen. And we don't care. But for the next few minutes, I want to talk faith with you. So here we go. We're asking questions about that living life as a Christian. That process. Not just Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights, though Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights are really important. But we're also talking about all the other times, the 365, 24/7 Christian life, as we are seeking to draw closer to the Lord one step at a time. That's our goal. So in lieu of that, we offer the opportunity, if you have an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question, we don't want you to let it die of loneliness. We want you to be able to share it with us. You can call us at 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. When you call, it will actually be awesome Jennifer that answers the phone because she's helping out as Tiara has some time off today. So you'll be have a chance if you call in to talk to awesome Jennifer. Well, that could be a first for many of you. You don't know that. Also, you can text us live during the show, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. As well, you can email us, david@hemustincrease.org. That's david@hemustincrease.org. So let me check with Jennifer. Do you have that clip to play the website sound? There should be a website sound around there somewhere.
I believe so. It says website jingle.
That's it.
That's it. Okay,
go with that one. Go with that.
Right now?
Yeah. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email david@hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. See, what you guys don't know is that Jennifer's a total pro. She's been doing that. She's been in radio for, longer than I've been in radio. You've been in radio a long time, haven't you? Like 8 years, 9 years, 7 years, 20 years, 30 years?
Going on 20.
20 years? No. 20 years?
I know, that's hard to believe.
What's wrong with you?
I don't know how to do anything else.
So anyway, we should have some fun today. We're not going to drain her too much, though, because she is the master multitasker, making sure that everything runs on this station on an every single day basis. So we will not pull her too hard. That's what we want to avoid. So here's the deal. The deal is if you reach out to us and contact us, we'll do our best. If it's a question and it's theological in nature and it needs a little bit a more required study, or before I answer too quickly, I think it's something that needs to be thought through, then I'll tell you that. If it's something I can answer right away, I'll answer it right away. So if you call me and say, what's 2 plus 2, and I say 4.25, you'll know why. And if you end up texting me and saying anything along those lines, I'll do my best to be a blessing. That's our goal. In lieu of that, don't forget tomorrow is our, in the second segment, or the second section, I should say, is our Book of Acts. We're going to be continuing in the Book of Acts. It's just going to get more and more intense. So I hope you guys are enjoying that and being connected to that. Additionally, thanks for all the prayers. Everything is going great. I need a little prayer for my schooling, as I always do. This is the, I have this class and two other classes, and then I'm working on my big final project. And then they'll have to call me Dr. Dave, of which my eldest son has already said, not a chance. That's the level of respect I get. not even remotely close is what his response was. Okay, and then be in prayer because next week I'm going to be get a chance to see my daughter. That should be fun. All right, I want to go into real quickly Psalm 2. So we did Psalm 1 like, I don't know, 6 weeks ago, 8 weeks ago, and we stopped. I want to go back into this, and I want to get into the Psalms. I've gone through the Psalms probably, I've probably read them 100 times, but I've probably only methodically, you know, verse by verse, word by word, study by study, gone through it about 20 or 25 times. And I'm going through it one more time now, and I'm just so I'm so blessed by what it teaches. I want to share some of it with you. Some of this could be a little tougher, and it's going to be that way, and that's part of life because the Word of God, it strengthens us, it builds us, it guides us, it directs us, it gives us the equipping for a righteous life and a righteous living, but it also challenges us, corrects us, and rebukes us, and that's something we need to be aware of as well. God doesn't do that because He hates it. He does it because He loves us, not because He hates us. So when the Word of God or when the Holy Spirit's working in your life and there's conviction or there's challenge or change, God's not doing that because He's trying to be mean. He's trying to help you. Okay? All right. There we go. Psalm 2. Here's what it says. Why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. Wow, that just sounds really brave, doesn't it? I mean, to me, that sounds brave. Here's the bottom line. The bottom line is there's an amazing element in verse 2 where it says that the rulers take counsel against the Lord and against His anointed. That word anointed is the same word that we would translate Messiah in English or Christ in Greek. Right? So if you think of it in that way, against the Lord and against His Christ, against the Lord, against His Messiah, against the Lord, and against His anointed. And then it says, let us break their bonds, using that word there as in plural. So those are divinity references, and it's plural. Without even knowing it, ironically, the world accidentally identifies the Trinity. It's really an amazing element. But here's what I want you to get. What they're saying, and what I want us to catch, is this. They're saying, God won't stop us. God will never stop us. Now, how funny is that? God will never stop us. I want you to look at Genesis 11. Folks, yeah, where the Tower of Babel took place and God said, yeah, I'm not in this. Let's change this. And it stopped. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that take it on. Psalm 127, verse 1. It's futility to try and do something against God, which is where that portion comes in. He who sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them in derision. He shall speak to them in His wrath and distress them in His deep displeasure. It's like, you're telling me you're going to stop me from being me? That ain't happening. That ain't never happening. So when the nations take that kind of attitude of, you know, we're going to do this apart from the Lord, it's like, wrong. Now, for those that need to understand Psalm 2, just real quickly, this psalm is referenced 5 times in the New Testament. How many? 1 finger, 2 finger, 3 finger, 4 finger, 5 fingers. 5 times under the connection to Jesus Christ, this particular psalm. So if you're looking for the New Testament understanding of Psalm 2, you understand that the Lord and His anointed is referenced to Jesus Christ. Because 5 times the New Testament declares that. And the people are like, we're not going to submit to God. We refuse. Now, some people think this will happen in the millennium. I think it could happen in the millennium if that's how it works. But it's certainly happening now. It's certainly taking place right this second. Where nations are going, I'm not listening to God. I don't care what God has to say. People do that right now. Nations do that. Leaders do that. Guess what? That ain't going to last. That's not going to last a long time, is it? Nah, not really. And so if you understand what the Lord is saying, it's like these people are going, we're not going to bow. We're not going to yield. And it's like, yes, you are. Yes, you are. In fact, every being in heaven, on earth, and below the earth will yield and acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord. There is no way around it. And just so you can know for the next verse, just giving it just a little extra kick, in the next verse, in verse 8, it says, you are my son, today I have begotten you. Where's the last time you heard about somebody being begotten? Oh, that would be Jesus Christ in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Yet another evidence that this is a messianic psalm. You are my son. Today I've begotten you. And when we come back, because we're going to break in about 40 seconds, when we come back, I'm going to talk to you about how actually this psalm foretells the Great Commission. It's like, you got to be kidding. Like, nope, that's what it does. But what we need to understand is that God's way is the way, and man's way is full of darkness. There's the way which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is the way of death. Okay? God's path gives life. Man's path gives death. And I think we want to live. That is the goal. All right, we're going to take our exit here. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
It's incredible. And it's never been done before. And you can be the first person in your neighborhood to win.
What is it?
It's a contest.
How do I play?
It's simple. And there's three ways to win. You can go to Facebook, type in David Spoon Media. And on any Facebook post, type in the word Jesus in the comment section. And it's free. You can also send an email to davidspoonmedia@gmail.com and write the word Jesus in the subject line. Or you can go to YouTube and give a comment on any video, but you have to use the word Jesus. This is your chance to win, and it's free.
What do I win?
You can win 100 thank yous right on air. It's incredible. It's unbelievable, but it's only for a limited time. Enter now. Here's a taste. Thank you for listening to the David Spoon Experience.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
You get into the Word of God and something's going to happen that will blow your mind. Ready? The law of the Lord is perfect, Psalm 119:7 says, able to restore the soul. And I've been doing this for a long time. And in my 42 and a half years of devotions and in my diligent devotion time, I kind of separate that between the two. I cannot tell you, it must be thousands of times where my attitude has been... And then I went into the Word of God, and I came out different. It wasn't anything that I did as much as God speaking into me what he knows about his creation. And so I'm asking you, I'm pleading with you, even if you've been a Christian for 50 years, for 60 years, nay, for 70 years, like the Apostle John was on the island of Patmos, be in the Word of God. It is alive, and it will give life and impart life to you through God's Spirit. People come and they read the Word of God, and they're like, well, I get nothing out of it. Well, they don't mix it with faith, and the Word of God, the promises of God, not mixed with faith, are useless, because you have to be engaged with God. And know he's going to speak. People are like, well, that's a lot of requirement for me to get in there and read the Word of God. You want me actually to believe that God's going to speak to me? Yes, because he will. And if you don't, you won't hear him. So when you open up that book, take 30 seconds, more than you ever have before, and say, just in this moment, just at this time, Tune me in, Lord. Help me to hear what you have to say. Speak to me and let your word breathe life into me. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. We're getting ready to do our very first trivia question. I'm just telling you right now, I wrote all five of these by hand before the show, so these are not coming out of a book, which means it could be hard for me to read because my writing is terrible, absolutely terrible. All right, what book in the New Testament, what book in the New Testament mentions that the gospel is of first importance? Now, here's your key, or here's your hint. It's not one of the gospels, okay? Or the book of Acts. It's not. What book states that the gospel is of first importance? If you think you know the answer, you can call in at 972-445-0770, or you can text in at 214-210-8483. Either way, those will work, but where does it say that? Now, you think, that is a super tough first trivia question, Dave. Normally, you'll say, what color is the sky? Yes, but I want you to know where it says in the New Testament that the gospel is of first importance. Okay? Now, there are other translations that might change that word importance, but I think you get the idea. Okay? Okay. All right? There you go. 972-445-0770. Or you can text in 214-210-8483. I want to carry on. See if there's anything I'm missing. Am I missing anything? I don't think I'm missing anything. Okay, here we go. I want to carry on with this portion that we're talking about in Psalm 2, because a little bit of this has to do with some of the headlines that are kind of peeking through the curtain. So I'm going to pick it up in Psalm 2, verse 6. Yet I have set my king on my holy hill in Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me and I will give you the nations for your inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possession. Couple things to tell you right off the bat. Mount Zion is where the king exists, or the holy hill that comes from God. And right now you got a lot of tense things taking place, like right now in Jerusalem, and you got a lot of fighting going on backwards and forwards. Christians are called to be praying for peace, but there is at no point the Christian misunderstands that Psalm 122, verse 6, pray for the peace of Israel. May they be secure who love you. And no point does anybody misunderstand Zechariah 2:8. For thus says the Lord of hosts, after his glory sent me to the nations who plundered you, for he who touches you touches the apple of his eye. Jerusalem is seen as the apple of God's eye. For the Isaiah 60, verse 12, for the nation and kingdom that will not serve you shall perish. Those nations shall be utterly laid to waste. Numbers 24:9, he crouched, he lay down like a lion and like a lioness. Who will rouse him up? Blessed are those who bless you and cursed are those who curse you, all in reference to the people of Israel. St. Paul recorded in Romans 15:27, if the Gentiles have shared in with the Jewish people in the spiritual things, then they're indebted to minister to them in the material things. Luke chapter 7, verse 5, for he has loved our nation, he's built our synagogue. That was the plea that was made in order to help a Gentile who deserved the blessings of God to Jesus, of which Jesus responded positively. Here's what I'm trying to say. I don't think any Christian can sit there and say, we want people to die. That's a terrible thing. But you cannot also be a Bible-believing, born-again Christian and not pray for and stand with Israel as the gem or the jewel or the apple of God's eye. That's what you got going on when it talks about Mount Zion. Mount Zion is where the king is. It's where the king has his throne. Who's that king he's referring to? Jesus. And it's like, no, you got to stand firm in this. It's the holy hill of Zion. And then right in that context, it says, I'll declare, the Lord said to me, you are my son. Who's that referring to? Jesus. Today I've begotten you. Who's that referring to? Jesus. Okay, we get that. As long as you understand that, then we're doing okay. And then it says this, ask me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possession. Watch this. In the Great Commission, Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 through 20, Jesus said, go to the nations and make disciples, teaching them all that I have taught you, teaching them to observe everything I've taught you. In other words, the inheritance that Jesus receives technically is the world. And that's the Great Commission. Go into the world and tell people about my kingdom. And here it says in Psalm 2, the nations are for your inheritance. And that's reference to the Son who has been begotten. The ends of the earth are for your possession. Isn't that fantastic? And this is where it gets really tricky, because the devil, let's just understand this, tried to get Jesus to shortcut his way to the Messiahship. Remember one of the temptations. One of the temptations was that Jesus was taken up to a high point, and he said, I will have all the nations of the earth worship you if you will bow down and worship me. That was Satan giving Jesus a shortcut to the process of messiahship. Ooh, that's some deep, serious teaching. Do we have somebody that's going to answer the trivia question?
No, she just has a comment for
you. Okay, all right. We'll put that in. This is David. Who am I talking to? And you got to turn your radio down.
Hi, David. I just have Mount Zion. Isn't that the same as Jerusalem? Isn't
well, it's a mountain within the Jerusalem. It's a mountain within it. Mary, it's a mountain within Jerusalem. It's not actually Jerusalem itself. Jerusalem is a city, whereas Mount Zion is a kind of a plateau.
There you go. Okay, but Zion's going to be the new name correct. For Jerusalem, isn't
correct.
It?
Correct, yeah. That's, many people believe that. That's correct. Good job, Mary.
Now, I do think that your answer might be somewhere in Psalms.
Yeah. Now, there's so many reference points. It's amazing, in fact. So, but five times this psalm is referenced in the New Testament as being towards Jesus.
Oh, I thought you said it was in the Old Testament.
No, in the New Testament, there's five times where it talks about this psalm being connected to Jesus. Isn't that amazing?
Say that again. I'm sorry. My hearing isn't all that good.
I know. Psalm 2 is referenced five times in the New Testament as connected to Jesus.
Connected to Jesus, yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Okay.
Yeah. But I thought, I probably misunderstood the question.
That's okay.
But, okay. Well,
thanks, Mary.
Okay, well, thank you, okay?
Okay, God bless.
I really enjoy this because now I'm learning things that in the Old Testament, I'm not as knowledgeable, but you know what I did read? Now, when you talked about the horses last week, about the chariot that took Elijah to heaven, that is 2 Kings, 2nd chapter, but it was in verse 11 that talked about the fiery horses. But later in that chapter, a horrible thing was these children making fun of Elisha because
he was bald,
bald headed.
Yeah.
And it told how many. It was 42 the bears, two she bears.
That's what we talked about.
Killed 42 children. Isn't that awful?
Yeah, well, the bears mauled them. We don't know if they killed them, but they mauled them. So, all right, good job, Mary. We appreciate that, and thank you for the phone call. Okay? Mary, God bless. Okay. All right, so let's go back to this. All right, so you only got like 2 minutes, okay, to answer this, and then I'm going to give the answer regarding where that portion is in regards to where it says the Gospels of first importance. So now we're talking about all these things. I want you to catch this in Psalm, the rest of the Psalm, verse 10. Now, therefore, be wise, O kings, be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry. Kissing in that capacity in the Old Testament is a sign of submission. And so it's kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish in the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are those who put their trust in him. You know who that's talking about? You. You're blessed because you put your trust in the Son, in the Messiah, the only begotten, he who inherits the entire world as part of his reward for being faithful and diligent and enduring the cross. It's his. He owns it. That's why Jesus said his, he's in charge. He has the authority over all of heaven and all of earth. It's his now. And at one point, he's going to flick a button and you're going to see all of the authority of Jesus in the palm of his hand. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Is that just fantastic? It's like, wow. Jesus is so cool. It's like, yeah, he's a super cool dude. Okay. Yeah, you probably can't say that because it's not really a theological term like okie dokie is. But he's pretty cool. And he loves you. And you can trust him. And you will be blessed when you do. All right. The answer to the trivia question is, you know, where does it say of most importance, of first importance? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, primarily verses 1 through 4, is the most simplistic way to see the gospel spelled out within the scriptures. Just fantastic stuff. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. All right, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Taking a short break. Top of the hour. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing. Except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
GOP congressman's gay son was going to come on their show, and they were going to talk to him, and CNN and MSNBC canceled the interview because he wouldn't criticize his father. He wouldn't downgrade his father because his father maintained his beliefs. His son becomes gay, makes a decision, by the way, to become gay, And the son will not criticize the father who does not change his Christian convictions. Will not change them. Father won't change him. Son will not criticize the father for that. MSNBC and CNN both canceled their interviews because the guy would not crucify his father. That is, of all things, as low as the press can go.